Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode two of Equality and Diversity in the Music Industry with Music Industry Insights Worldwide, Volume Two, Episode Two. And today we have Kelly on the show. Hi, Kelly.
Kirsty.
Oh, Kirsty. Sorry.
That's I'm
Sorry.
good. How are you?
I'm really, really well, thanks. And I really appreciate your time coming on the show. And yeah, tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, awesome. I actually started in the music industry just from basically my career before coming into music and entertainment was in like fashion and beauty. I just doing like digital marketing, like CRM, sort of email marketing and things like that. And I kind of was like, okay, I've got this passion for music and I've got this like skill, you know, that is, you know, see, seems to be the way that everything's going now, like digital stuff. That's yeah, I mean, got even more important in things like the pandemic. But yeah, basically I moved into music through doing a master's in music business. And then yeah, basically like got into like management and development of artists.
Right.
But like with special focus, like yeah, very much on like, you know, mental health and protecting artists and inclusion and diversity as much as humanly possible, really. So yeah.
And how long have you been doing that for?
My first role, so when I was studying music business, it was from the end of 2018 to 2019. And alongside that, I was did like an internship for a rock management company. So War Power, they're mostly focused on like rock bands. And yeah, so I was doing that. So I'd say that was kind of like my first job. So yeah, 2019, and then like my first sort of official job was at the end of that year, which was, you know, crazy because then it sort of led me into 2020 when everything went to absolute shit. So yeah, it was a bit of a crazy time to start getting involved in the music industry, and now we're obviously left in this really sort of turbulent, weird time, you know, across all genres, across live music, across everything, really. So yeah, it's one of those. Yeah, it's been a few turbulent years basically in the industry.
How has that affected you and the way you've had to deal with things?
Is honestly like, you know, the first sort of like experience I had like coming into the music industry, especially like even like studying at uni, was I am not going to get equal opportunities to other people,
Right.
namely men. Just because, you know, I just quickly noticed it. I quickly noticed that, like, you know, they men will get like were getting spoken to more, you know, they seem to be getting taken seriously more, like very much so, like, you know, if they ever sort of piped up with a point or whatever, you know, they get listened to over someone, you know, like that identifies as a woman. So I think it's been very strange. So that sort of coupled with the fact that we then went into this global pandemic, and you know, I've always been like after my sort of first job, which was the end of 2019, I worked for like a label management live company, all in one. It was like a bit of a 360 company, and I lost that job at the start of 2020, like literally in March as we were going into lockdown. So yeah, it's been a bit crazy, really, because like yeah, then I was sort of left to my own devices, and I was like, okay, you know, I'm not part of a company anymore, but what can I do?
Yeah.
And that's when I decided to start my own venture in like management and development, and you know, sort of with that focus as well, of obviously being a bit more inclusive. And yeah, and it's like the you know, honed in on my skills of digital marketing as well, being that, you know, everything was online, we didn't have live music anymore. So I was thinking, okay, how can I develop an artist without live shows, basically?
No income. It's really
Yeah.
difficult. How did that affect you personally? Like, how did you manage to cope with that? And did it make you want to give up at times? Does it make you feel less than? Because you see,
Totally.
especially in the rock industry as and such, you know, as a woman, how do you
Yeah.
feel that?
Yeah, it's so tough. Like, honestly, I'm literally having a very similar existential crisis like at the moment, with like yeah, feeling like I always want to give up, and you know, thinking, oh, I've picked a really tough like genre, a really tough scene. Like, you know, it's one of those. It's like you there's always ups and downs, obviously. But yeah, I really struggled. Like, and you know, I don't think there's ever a time when it's just like smooth sailing and, you know, everyone's happy and la-di-da. Like even right now, you know, I'm on like sort of search for a little bit more work because I work freelance, so I'd sort of, you know, go in and out of like different companies. You know, and even now it's so tough. It's like, you know, again, it's like maybe you don't get listened to, or unless you know the right person, you don't even get a look in. Even though you know you're so fucking capable. Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear. You're like so capable, and you know you can definitely do this thing, and you know you've got a lot to offer. So yeah, it was just weird. Like literally from like the moment I lost that first job that I had to now, it's just been like this constant up and down journey of like being like, what am I doing? Is this all worth it? And also just because as well, like we don't really get paid much. Like, you know, the music industry is not exactly the most you know, like great way to earn a pretty penny. So it's one of those, it's like you have to kind of remind yourself like why you're doing it. And yeah, and just like, you know, doing things like this, like doing things what you do, like it's so like admirable, and it probably makes you feel like so like satisfied. So I think it's like seeing if you can, okay, you're not getting those opportunities handed to you, so what can you do to help like your community? You know, so yeah,
Thank you for recognizing that. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
that's
Going
okay.
back to like musical education, because you've talked about your education. How was that?
Yeah.
Was being underrepresented, was that a challenge? And how did that affect you and your career?
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, really. So, yeah, you know, I felt like it was going to be a bit of a fast track into the music industry. You know, it was a year long master's full time, and it sort of covered every part of the industry, like marketing, live, A&R, that sort of thing. Just, you know, to give you like a whole sort of overview of it. And it was run by a woman, which, you know, is amazing. And I, you know, it's one of those. It was like I managed to get funding just by being from the background that I'm from, which is sort of like working class. Like my parents, you know, they don't earn that much, and so I managed to get funding for the tuition fee, which I, you know, I count myself lucky, but obviously one day I've got to pay it back. But yeah, other like opportunity wise, it was then. It's the sort of networking and the stuff that comes after that, and like, you know, the stuff that surround the actual course that you're doing. You know, we had a lot of guest speakers in, and you know, a lot of people would, you know, go to different networking events and this and that. And it just became very obvious that, you know, yeah, that like sort of women and like people of color weren't getting taken as seriously as the white boys, you know. And I think that yeah, that just became very, very apparent. And that wasn't on the sort of education level, I don't think. That was more on the, you know, the internships that you could get at like major labels or, you know, wherever. And obviously, you know, that's the thing that we know is a thing anyway, like that major labels are still nowhere near as diverse as they could be. So yeah, I think education wise, like it is really great to do, and I would honestly recommend, you know, the course to people, you know, if they can afford it. But I know I'm privileged in the sense of, yeah, that I was able to afford it and I was able to have that support, but I know a lot of people aren't. And so I think that would be like something that I would want to change as well, is like, you know, sort of helping people like find out how they can access those opportunities and what they can do. And, you know, I think there's not enough information out there about things like that.
It's a great point, actually. Yeah, that's a really
Yeah.
great point you make. And looking at some of the stats, out of the
Yeah.
nine major music companies, there was only one female music executive in one of those roles. So that just
God.
goes to show, out of those nine major labels, so out of the nine major music companies, sorry, not
Yeah.
even including the labels. So that
Yeah.
just goes to show that, again, we're not doing enough. I think if other people are not going to give us those opportunities, we have to make them ourselves. And I think
100%.
we're becoming more aware of that now. And I think
Yeah.
collaboration as well is really part of it. It's working together with other communities and trying
Definitely.
to have more of an impact and a powerful voice, because I think it's really unfair to see. And like you said, as a
100%.
networking, how do you get treated as a woman? Like going to networking events, sometimes it's a confidence issue. Sometimes you must get sexualized. Sometimes you must get advances. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Definitely. I think, like, my experience in the industry so far is that, I it's a weird one without using quite derogatory language, but basically I think that women still get seen as like fangirls, and we still get seen as like slutty, basically. If we were to, bearing in mind that our whole time and our whole lives are spent in the in the industry and like doing work and trying to focus on our careers, obviously the only people we meet are people that are also in the industry, so it means that, if you want to date or whatever, if you want to meet people on like a romantic level, you're so afraid of what people are then going to think of you and like think of, is she worth like giving that job to, because she got with this person that I know. And like I've definitely experienced that. I've experienced the fact that, even just like being a woman and meeting a guy and like maybe talking to them or whatever, that then other men in the industry are like, blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't make me any less like good at what I do. But that's still a very much like, the whole like way that I think women get seen in the industry. Like they just don't get taken as seriously. It's like, why should we be called like, like a female this and female that? And I hate that people still do that as well, like female fronted band and female marketer. And I was like, what? Like I'm just doing my job,
Human.
So yeah, I've definitely been, and I haven't been taking like seriously a number of times, like the amount of times where people have questioned, yeah, like my authority or like questioned any advice I've given them. And it's crazy because as much as like I think some men will sort of act like it's not to do with gender or anything like that, I
Yeah.
think that it 100% is. I think it's like internalized misogyny that they have. And I think that, if it was coming from a man, they would take it more seriously.
Yeah, I think so.
So
I
yeah,
think
I've definitely experienced that on quite a severe level. And like exactly what you said, I think it's a confidence issue. Like, yeah, I've definitely been afraid to, like exert myself, and like, I've been pulled up, like to if we're gonna, being brutally honest, I've been like questioned about being spiky or, a little bit aggressive, a little bit cutthroat. And I'm like, that's just like normal. Like surely I'm allowed to be a bit like passionate and, a bit like intense, and people are like, people piss me off sometimes, that people piss everyone off, but then when a man is telling you, oh, like you're too much, like you're too aggressive, and this is not going to do well for you, and it's too much for us, and we don't want to work with you because of it and stuff like that. Yeah, that's when you're a bit like, so okay, so I have to sit here quietly and and be polite and pretty and accept what you're saying to me, just because if I pipe up and I get a bit aggressive and passionate about it, apparently that's too spiky. So yeah, it's definitely a confidence issue as well. Like sometimes you just stay quiet just to appease men and appease like the people that are higher up, and which are, yeah, by the sounds of it at the moment, obviously guys. So
that affected your confidence and your ability to do your work sometimes? Would you say it's hindered?
100%, 100%. Like literally, I'm kind of struggling again. Like I'm struggling with it right now. Like I suffer from quite bad anxiety, and I get it when I feel like I have to question my own. I start questioning myself, because someone else has told me I'm this and I'm that, and and like I'm not doing this right or I'm not doing this right. I then start to question my own beliefs in myself. And it is that it's I started to feel really lost, and I started to feel like I had to literally sit on Google. I didn't do it that long ago. I sat on Google and I searched for like groups for specifically for like women and non-binary people that can like help, like come together, because I genuinely didn't know what to do, and I felt so lost and alone, and I just wanted to know that there were other women like experiencing what I was experiencing, which I know there are, but I didn't know like how to find them or where they were.
I think you make actually, it's more about getting the voices out there because there are places around. It's just people need to find out where are they?
Exactly. And that's the thing, if it, you know, if it's everything sort of being controlled by people that, you know, aren't of one of those, you know, groups, like it's where, you know, how do we find it? Like I, in the end, like it actually come up on a, I think it did come up on like an NME group, like an NME article, maybe. I don't know if it was that big, it might have been something else. But it came up on an article, and they actually listed, I think it was like 10 like women run like charities and like queer charity, you know, queer groups and like communities and stuff like that. And but that was the only article I saw on it. So I
Yeah.
was just like, oh my God, like, so, you know, I was clicking them, seeing if any of them were like, you know, part of sort of what could help me and what I was looking for. And I actually did sign up to one. It was the She Said So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I signed up, and I was just like, it's just nice, like even if you're just posting in there about like, oh, you know, like let's meet up, or you know, I've got this opportunity. And it's, I think it's literally just about building other people up, and like, you know, finding that community and finding your sense of self again. Because yeah, it 100% affects my mental health, and you know, when I can actively see myself getting pushed down by people, like by men at the top, basically.
And you feel isolated as well at times. Like I've experienced that too. Sometimes I want to find people that have experienced what I've experienced that can relate to where I come from. And I
Totally.
think, you know, some places, like you said, it'd be great if we could see more of that spread across the community, these hubs that people could link up with each other and share their views. And I know there's the F List,
Yeah.
member of now, and they're really, really great. And it's really exciting to be part of them because I want to kind of help promote the work they do and do more research around that.
Yeah,
So that's a really
definitely.
you make, actually. Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Kirsty.
Okay.
So what are your thoughts and feelings on equality and diversity and inclusion in the music industry at the moment? What could we see?
I think it, I mean, it's definitely not as good as it could be, right? Like, you know, there's still a long way to go. I think it's people sort of, there's more being done, but I just don't think it's enough. You know, it's that on top of all the other issues that we're also having to deal with at the same time, you know. So it's one of those, it's like stuff like that gets pushed aside when, you know, they're not like, you know, the government isn't giving the like music and culture and the arts sector any money, any funding. You know, our live sector's going to shit because like venues are getting shut down and all that sort of thing. Like, you know, there's so many issues that then stuff that's super, super important, like diversity and inclusion, is then getting pushed to one side. So yeah, it's again, I think it's been one of those very up and down journeys. Like you start to feel, I think, that things are happening, and you know, these movements are happening. Like, you know, especially in lockdown, like there was like a resurgence of like the Black Lives Matter movement, and you know, and stuff like that. And you feel like, yeah, like you really want to be part of it, and things are happening. And then all of a sudden, it just starts to feel like it dwindles. And then you're like, okay, what's happened? Like, you know, so it's, yeah, it's one of those. I think, I don't think companies and the people at the top are doing enough. And you know, when I've done studies on it, I did a study actually in when I did my master's about like sexual assault and harassment in the music industry, and in especially in like live events and stuff. And it came to pass, like, it, you know, from my research and from talking to people, there was like, it was literally, it, I think it ended up being like over 80% or something, of people I spoke to had all had a horrible experience like that, and you know, didn't do any, like they couldn't do anything about it. They hadn't spoken about it, like they didn't feel like they had anywhere to go. And that's the thing, I think the people with the power at the top are not providing those safe spaces, and they're not providing, you know, those equal opportunity spaces, or you know, that the voices, and like you say, they're not letting like these voices be heard. And for me, it's about lifting those voices up, because again, I know I've got privilege. Like, you know, yes, I'm a woman, but you know, it's I still account myself as a privileged like white woman, basically. So it's like I want to also be able to provide that space and those opportunities for other people that aren't as privileged as myself. So there's many layers to it, and obviously, you know, like it's hard to sort of break down. I very much believe in a lot of it will start at grassroots level. I think a lot of it will start at like primary school, teaching like young boys to teaching young boys to be to not be misogynistic, basically, and you know, to not be like an anti-queer or anti like anything. So yeah, I think that's very much like where things are going to start. But again, it's going to count on like our government giving the funding to education, and you know, and providing those parts of the curriculum and stuff where, you know, where that gets taught. You know, because it's again like drawing back on that research I did, like I think the problem with that is that the people that had been like sexually assaulted or sexually harassed, they didn't know what consent was. And then I admitted myself, I don't think I learned what consent was until like my late 20s, you know, and I'm 32 now. So it's stuff like that. It's like, you know, we should be getting taught all of everything, like all this, you know, everything to do with like equality and inclusivity all at that young age. And we're just not being taught that, you know, so it feels like it then just gets, you know, dragged up through the system and through the, you know, the ages. I think that's definitely where the problem begins.
Thank you for sharing that with us. A very interesting point. Thank you. So the next question would be, I have to look on this, do you think cultural and age differences affect the progress of where we're going and how we're getting there?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, definitely. I think again, it's about opportunity, isn't it? I think like there's so many like disparities, so many like unequal like opportunities within our society. I kind of touched on it before. It's definitely about, you know, again, like grassroots levels and the fact that people aren't being given equal opportunity based on like the color or, you know, they're like whatever, like their ability and everything like that. So it's definitely, I think it's about raising the right voices and letting those be heard. And I just don't think that's being done as well as it can be. Like it's again, we have those moments, like, you know, you have like someone like super important, like speaking at an event or like headlining a festival or, you know, speaking out and that, you know, for a moment you're like, yeah, this is great, you know, like Dave or Stormzy or whatever, you hear, you know, hear those voices being heard and they're shouting about some really important topics on a worldwide stage. And then I just think that the sort of, you know, the energy behind that then just sort of gets lost. And it gets lost because there's other, because again, like because of who's in power and you know, and our government sort of covers that sort of stuff up, and you know, and then there's all this drama and yeah, everyone sort of forgets about it. And again, like with major labels, you know, that it's a huge problem, like the fact that, you know, like you say, there's like one person that was like an exec that's like a woman, and that's crazy to me.
People as well, do you think the executives, because they're a lot older, they're a lot less accepting?
Oh, totally. Yeah, it's an old white boys club, that's the thing. And that's, it's horrible to say, and it's, you know, like I say, it has improved somewhat, I'm sure, but it's, to me, it still feels like an old white boys club. Like, you know, no matter what company you look at, it's like, yeah, you've got like women and non-binary people and like, you know, different abilities and everything, like at this sort of level. But then at this level, it's always like the old white guy, you know, that's still the director or whatever. And it's definitely like, you kind of feel like, oh, are we just a bit of a token? Like, you know, have they just sort of you know, stuck us in there because they want, they want their stats to look good and whatever. But yeah, definitely age 100% has something to do with it. Like, you know, again, like 32, that isn't old. Like, but I genuinely, in the music industry, I feel old, and I feel like I get judged by older men for being that age. Like, you know, it's, again, it's like, it's so many things to unpack and everything as well. But, you know, women get treated differently, like, considering, you know, whether they're younger or older. Like, and it, you know, if you're past a certain age as a woman, like, you then get, like, you, yeah, like, your old hat, like, they don't want you anymore, you're not fresh. And, you know, and I think that's a lot of to do with the fact that these men at the top think that they control younger women, like, a bit easier. You know, I think they're like, oh, well, we've got this opportunity for you because, like, you're young and fresh and we can break you down still. But, you know, someone who's a little bit older and, like, maybe in their 30s and stuff, like, you know, again, we're not getting handed opportunities because it's just, you know, it's, yeah, it's that's definitely got something to do with it. Culture-wise, yeah, I think it's very much still a, again, like, I come from a working class background, and like, yeah, I've never been loaded. I've never had, like, that, you know, that much money, yeah, to go and buy, you know, my way into things. And I think, again, it's very much like, if you're sort of rich and private schooled and whatever, you're getting these opportunities given to you, like, but just because you can pay for it, basically. Like, you can pay for these, like, amazing studios and these amazing producers.
Someone in the right place that can get
totally. So yeah, I definitely think culture and age and yeah, like, the sort of class war, like, always has something to do with it, for sure.
Oh, thanks so much, Kirsty. This has been such an inspirational, and I've learned so much from your chat today. It's been great. Thank you so much.
You're inspirational. You honestly, thank you for inviting me to chat. It's been awesome.
Have you, like, kind of ever experienced discrimination and sexism? Like you said, like, how's, you know, when you experience that, like, how often do you experience it? Do you experience it all the time?
Do you know, it's yeah, yes and no, because I think there's, yeah, I think it, I would say all the time, because I think that every man has a sort of level of internalized misogyny, whether they realize it or not. So I would say that, you know, every day there's always something, like, whether it's, like, big or little. Yeah. And I think that's the problem, is that I don't think I've experienced every day very, like, overtly and obviously, but I've definitely experienced something quite sinister every day. Like, there'll always be something little, whether it's a comment or, you know, the way someone speaks to you, or, like, something someone does, or that, and you just think, like, you know, even, like, lineups, like, for example, like, gig lineups, every day I see these all white male band lineups going up, and I'm like, are you joking? And, like, someone's, like, a man will then sit there and they'll say, oh yeah, but do you know how hard it is to book, like, women and non-binary and people of color and stuff like that? And I'm like, dude, it's not, because they're there, right? Like, they're there and they exist, but they're just not being found, and they're not being given the opportunities. They're not being raised on these platforms. So, like, don't give me that bullshit that, like, it's so hard to, like, book them, and, oh, they're busy, or, you know, there's just not enough of them. Like, you know, there is enough of them. You're not giving, you know, you're not doing anything to help. So yeah, I'd say every day there's something like that will happen, and it grinds you down, for sure. And it definitely makes you think, like, what more can I be doing? You know, which is, again, why I said, like, when I started my own sort of management and development company, like, I definitely want to work with people, you know, that aren't white men, basically.
Straight away, because we met at the Great Escape last year, didn't we? And we had the same values and the same goals, and that's why we've always kept in touch. And
yeah,
I always thought, what a lovely woman that you are, and, you know, you've been so inspirational. And thank you for coming along. Like,
thank you.
Can people find you if they want to get in touch, if they want to look for you or contact you for some work? How would they find you?
Yeah, for sure. Like, so I'm on LinkedIn, so Kirsty MacGregor on LinkedIn, or my Instagram is kmac0305. And yeah, I mean, I don't know how easy that is to remember.
But in the description below anyway.
Yeah, I would love to people to reach out and, like, chat and you know, like you say, build these communities and have these spaces where we can all get together and just like, yeah, you know, chat about things and share our experiences and provide opportunities for each other like that. Yeah, that's wicked.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you. You're awesome. I'm so glad. Yeah, this is amazing that you're doing this. Like, it's wicked.
Thank you.